And it is 9 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 12 noon in the East Coast, and it's 7 o'clock in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is June 28, 2017, and this is Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. Today we're gonna talk and consider what we have, happening in the world. We can analyze it and calculate our options. And see, maybe we're going to come up with a new ideas. And this is all together while we are working hard to protect it. And while we're protecting it, we have a blessing that, we have a sponsor of the show, Itai Gil, which is the owner of Protect, the company that helps teach and introduce to the world how to protect and hope and pray to save lives. So let's have the intro to our sponsor.
I was elite special forces and elite anti-terror team. It's called Yamam. It's an Israeli Hebrew word for like special operation group. It is the most well-known and most elite team in the whole country of Israel. The Protect company, and me especially as a person, as a private individual that have a family and have many friends, and all my Protect crew, not just in the U.S., but my guys all over the world, our main goal is to reach out to people and tell them, listen, buddies, we all have a problem. Terrorism is on the rise. Radical cells are right now active in sleeper cells in the United States, right now as we're talking. This is a global threat that's actually infiltrating slowly, slowly to any place on the planet, especially in the United States. How do we get more people to be aware of this problem? And like I said, and I'll say it a million times, people forgot 9/11. 9/11, unfortunately, is not the last one. If you ask me, on American soil, there will be another attack. It's about time we do something about it.
All right, and we are back. Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. That was the introduction to Protect, the company that helps the world and teach the world to protect itself. It's a new day, and we are all facing a new game, a global game that put everybody in risk. If you consider the war that we are actually having now on the cyber world, you can understand how meticulous and sensitive everything becomes. If you consider the item that you play and you put in your computer, and then you think up for a minute that it might be, hacked by somebody else, you might consider again what you're putting on. So by all means, I collected some information that might be important to you, important for us to understand and to listen to, in case we can improve it, because there is a global cyber attack, and we must take care of it. Let's listen to this.
Greg Sim, he's chief executive of the international security company Glasswall Solutions. So, Greg, how serious is this particular attack, do you think?
Well, it's a serious attack, as you can tell. I mean, it's spread globally, Ian. And is it surprising? Probably not. It started in the Ukraine, allegedly. Our intelligence people tell us that it's likely to have started through an email, through an attachment or a link with a Microsoft Word document. And that's how easy, remember, that these things can actually trigger, how the infection started, how the beachhead has started.
So how do companies and individuals protect themselves then? Is it something as straightforward and simple as just not clicking on an attachment that looks dubious?
That sounds awful easy, but remember that the clicking on the email or the attachment, it ranges from the very simple, we always say you can't insure against stupidity, meaning you see something that doesn't look right, it doesn't feel right. Unfortunately, some people still click on them, all the way up to the ones that are very sophisticated, that they're targeted, that they're structured to come from an individual that you think is a friendly, or they've spoofed his email, and the chances are you're going to attack it. And the way that companies have got to approach this now is to be looking more into innovation. It's clearly showing that traditional methodologies of trying to prevent these attacks are just not working. They're simply not working.
Now, we've had a couple of these lately. We had an attack on the NHS a few weeks ago. At the weekend, Westminster came under a prolonged assault. Why are we suddenly getting a big spate of these attacks?
Well, simply because it's not very difficult for the attacker. And you've got to remember who's really behind it. When, again, the early news that we've seen is that they're looking at $300 worth of bitcoins. Now, in the face of it, you think, well, why would you want to do an attack like that and only gain $300 worth? So then does your mind go to a state-driven attack? That I remember talking in your programme during the NHS, where we spoke about if you were going to be a state-driven attack and you wanted to create fear and havoc, well, you've just done it. So the next thing is, you know, power companies have been hit. When do the lights go off? And ironically, the Ukraine just 12 months ago had a systematic attack against a power grid that took down a whole swathe of a country.
All right, Greg Sim from Glasswall Solutions. We've got to leave it there. Thanks for joining me.
The global attack is something that happens. They have the access to your file. They have the possibility to ruin the grid of many cities in the world. They can ruin people's life by taking over their accounts. They can reduce the airports and all the apparatus to none. They can close and open. They actually add a suspicion possibility about stopping the heartbeat of some sick people, and it was all the way up to the former vice president. So we are right now have to be vigilant about our personal life, our physical well-being, our surrounding, and our communication on the internet. Now, we don't want them to win, and we don't want to be afraid. We just have to be more careful. So we need to prepare and create some kind of defense mechanism. Now, I can tell you what I know here. I've been going to many conferences, and I can tell you that Israel is very much involved, active, and they are seeking to have resolve. Listening to some American representative, we understand that the cyber war is something that we need to still to catch up with in America. But in Israel, they never stop. So we have some advancement that we might have the possibility to share and to have together, you know, work together. Israel has some innovation that can she produce, but America has the capability. You have to understand, Israel is a very small country. It made from little ground, little resources, and very few people who know what they're doing. So we need to understand that when we ask them to stretch their imagination, while we are living in the Middle East, it's not easy. We have to understand that they are stretching their resources everywhere. And the world needs to invest. And I'm not saying that come and invest with us because we want to build a country. Come and invest with us because we want you to be a part of this global defense mechanism, because we cannot do it ourselves alone. We cannot do it without you, and we don't want to do it without you. We want you to be a part of it because we are together in it. And the shorter way is to join forces. Of course, you can come visit and see. There is every month they have conferences here. You can choose whatever conference you want to attend. You can join in. You can come and listen and talk. Many speak English, so you don't have the problem. If you want a meeting, we can organize it. But the idea is to get involved. And the sooner you do it, the better it is, because the world is changing. And when we change, we need to come and be on the same page together. And of course, there is all the rhetoric of all the left wings that want to create some anarchies and really mess things up. But we have to come together. So before we go to our beautiful, incredible music, we want to let you listen about Israel, the world cyber capital of the world.
While you're watching this video, over 50,000 cyber attacks will occur worldwide. About 4,500 of them will be launched against Israel's strategic assets. 99.9 of these attacks will fail. Welcome to Israel, the world's cyber capital. To face these increasing threats, in the year 2000, the Israeli government has targeted the cyber industry as its main investment focus. Since then, over 200 security and cyber startup companies have been set up around the country, most of them by military intelligence graduates. As a matter of fact, Israel has more cyber companies per capita than anywhere else in the world. More than 10 academic excellence centers were opened where great minds are recruited to promote cybersecurity education. Together, they're developing groundbreaking solutions for critical infrastructure security, prevention of cyber crimes and cyber-based terrorism, and protecting financial institutions worldwide. This Israeli pioneering industry has increased to a revenue of over $2 billion last year. That is why the biggest tech corporations chose Israel as their cyber R&D center, and foreign governments have signed knowledge sharing and operational collaboration agreements with Israel. While you're watching this video, the Israeli government, industry, and academy are working hand in hand to promote awareness and know-how to make the world a safer place. This is Israel. This is the world's cyber capital.
That's a great one. Think about it. It's some programs that we can all apply, we can all learn to use and introduce and probably multiply and make it better. Because we can find, it's a startup. After that, you have the sky's the limit. Think about it. We have to understand that this is a new age. It's a new day. And no matter what you do, you'll be surprised. Because we weren't prepared for that. And this turning of events so fast give us the opportunity to learn more. For example, changing the subject for the matter, I've been introduced today to the idea about, the shipments of livestock through the oceans from Australia to the Middle East, to Israel, to Jordan. And they're all livestock. You want to have the meat, fresh meat, those animals needs to be transferred from one part of the world to the other so they can cater to the needs of others. And in the process, what happened to those animals? The animals are being shipped tight, so they want to move or whatever in containers. And those containers are not ventilated properly, and they are immense, humongous atrocity against animals, because once you bunch them up, they go on each other, they walk, they sit on each other, and it's a mess. People don't realize what happens, because those animals are all stocked up in a pile, then they move for days in and day out, then they ship to a place, think about it, from Australia to the Middle East. Then they put them in a corner, in places where they have to be vigilant if they contain diseases. Some of them don't even survive the journey. And then after that, they start feeding them so they be fat and they can sell well. And after they send them to the slaughter, some of them even doesn't pass by the authority, as the health organization needs to approve them. So what do we have? We have humanity that is shipping animals in a way that is not honorable to our humanity. And I'm saying that because there is no voice for those animals that are shipped, and sometimes they are killed in the process. There is not a voice that can say, guys, stop it. Think about it. They go out from a temperature, a cold temperature in Australia, being shipped and arriving to 50 degrees Celsius in the Middle East. Do you know what how hot it is? And do you know what's the transfer in a bunch in a clouded container? I'm telling you this because I saw the movie. I saw the film that they taken, you know, hidden camera, etc., of how those animals look. Think about what happened to in the process, day in and day out, and we have three levels of in the shipment in the trucks. They have three levels. And you know, the first level go down to the second, and the second, whatever the residue they leave behind, they drop to the lower cage. So this atrocity must be handled by the world because it's international. And I don't care if you guys like to make your steaks rare or fresh. I really don't care. Because I eat meat sometimes, but if I have to devastate animals in the process because of my being is more important than taking care of this global universe that God gave us, I would second guess myself on this. It's impossible for us to even tolerate. But we like not to see, right? It's like we don't see what the suffering in Syria. We don't see the suffering of the international community just oblivious to the refugee crisis. We are neglecting the sick and the hungry and animals in the process. What else does God needs to see here? What else we need to show for our manhood, womanhood? What kind of people we are in the world that we allowed? And then our fight is like a joke in the internet. It's like, somebody is hacking, somebody is putting those voices, those ballots. It's losing we're losing perspective. We cannot continue like this. We need to go back to our really good focus. Think what we are all about. If this human, they're talking about climate change, and really I love you guys about, you know, and I love the climate change apparatus that are so upset about Donald Trump and he's canceling the Paris Agreement. But think about it. It's like you want to fix the sky and the moon, but you can't fix a shipment of cows that come from a place. And for days in, days, weeks, they suffer for somebody to have a steak on their plate. Oh, really? This is what we all about. But they're going to talk bad about Donald Trump because of the Paris Agreement, because America is not going to sponsor their expenditure rally like they all do. And today I was listening also to the ambassador Nikki Haley that was in the hearing, and they asked why you cancel UNICEF. You know, like the America needs to pay for everything, and you know the end result is nothing. So you have a few kids that have been taken care of, but all the rest are neglected. They're under terror attack, and they are under organization that help terrorists, like UNRWA in Gaza, which they found a tunnel underneath their school. Of course, they were beside themselves, but the truth of the matter is we need to take responsibility in this world and make sure that we have a wonderful free world for everybody. And when we say free world, we say people that can live and live side by side of each other. And on that note, let's hear some music.
If I could find a way,
All right, we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. You know, we were talking about cyber war and the cyber attack, and somebody thought about it and made a movie. And the movie was all about how America, the U.S. and Israel went into the Natsis nuclear plant in Iran and installed some computer data that can explode the engine out of control. You see, the idea was if we cannot penetrate it from the outside, if we're not if we cannot sabotage their nuclear ideas, we can install something in their system. And that's where the idea comes from, you know, for everybody now that we have to protect ourselves. So the same method that we made to explore that, I think that will be the matter to solve it. But let's listen to The Secret of Cyber War with Alex Gibney.
This has the whiff of August 1945. Somebody just used a new weapon, and this weapon will not be put back into the box.
In his latest film, Zero Days, Academy Award-winning documentarian Alex Gibney delves into the creation and deployment of the Stuxnet virus, an act Gibney believes is a game-changing moment in cyber warfare.
Stuxnet was a self-replicating virus, a worm, a piece of malware, that was launched by the U.S. and Israel into the centrifuges of the Natanz nuclear plant in Iran. And its purpose was to secretly make the centrifuges spin out of control until they blew up, but to send messages back to the engineers that all was well. So it was both a weapon of destruction, but it was also meant to sow doubt in the minds of the scientists. The reason it's hugely significant is it's the first time the computer code has crossed the threshold from the realm of cyber to the realm of the physical and starts blowing stuff up.
It seems to me from the film, Stuxnet worked in the beginning, and it was only after, according to NSA officials on background, they said that Israel basically warped the code. Was it bad to produce? Was it bad for the United States to go into that sphere?
Look, it's a good question. And frankly, personally, and I know a lot of other people feel the same way, as a weapon, it was a brilliant and elegant weapon, which achieved a goal of slowing down Iran's path to being a nuclear power. However, as a precedent, it was extremely dangerous because it was an attack on critical infrastructure in peacetime. If that had been done to us, we would have been within our rights to start a war. And so if you're saying, well, it's okay now, we're setting a new norm to launch a cyber weapon on critical infrastructure whenever we feel like it, that's a dangerous norm because that becomes the norm for everybody. And one of the most disquieting things about Stuxnet is how far beyond Stuxnet the sophistication of the weapons have become and their use. The two people who discovered Stuxnet at the beginning, Eric and Liam from Symantec, they would see one or two state-sponsored attacks in, say, 2010. Now they see over 100.
What makes cyber warfare the same and different than traditional warfare?
It's interesting that cyber weapons can only be launched with the permission of the President of the United States. That makes them analogous entirely to nuclear weapons. The nuclear analogy can be overdrawn, but I think it's important to understand because in cyber war, I mean, obviously there's a certain element to this we can always understand that goes way back to signals intelligence. That is to say, things like capturing radio signals of the enemy and being able to understand where they're going or possibly jamming them. Now with cyber weapons, it goes beyond espionage, though it starts as an espionage tool. It goes beyond espionage to be able to take control of machines and cause physical destruction. So in war, you can understand how hugely valuable that would be, but also how dangerous it is. So you want, you know, the anti-aircraft guns or surface-to-air missiles. You take down the electrical grid that supplies that power. and suddenly that's a great strategic weapon. The problem is that you may also take down hospitals and other things of that nature that could cause a lot of civilian deaths. So the potential for enormous destruction and loss of life is palpably there when it comes to cyber weapons. The other interesting element I think that nobody's really focused on is the Department of Justice issued indictments, I believe, for a number of Iranians for having launched a cyber attack on American banks. I found that ironic, considering the fact that we could logically assume that there will soon be indictments on certain members of the NSA for having launched a cyber attack on Iran. This is the tricky part. You know, there's the technical aspect of these weapons, but then there's the law. And this is what takes you into the torture debate, into the drone debate, and all of that other stuff. People can talk about techniques all they want, but at some point you have to begin to talk about reciprocity, the law, and values. And that's where the rubber meets the road.
In many ways, this film is a detective story, but it's also a story about transparency and secrecy.
Yes. We know that Stuxnet was...
All right. You know, the global idea of cyber attacks is something that can really scare many people. But the truth of the matter, the narrative of the left wing is a really... subtle, it's not clear, they don't talk about it, but it's directional. That's what I'm saying. When they want to create a fuss, they send you in the wrong direction or in a bad direction, so or the direction they follow, so you can have a direction, but you don't really know why or you just chose it. Let me give you the example. For example, he's complaining in this movie that 0 days that America and Israel, the U.S. and Israel, actually in time of peace penetrated this via cyber attack the Iranian nuclear facility. So think about it. He's saying that it was a peaceful time. When you say peaceful time, it means that America and Israel was wrong in doing so because they did something that not supposed to be. But this is not precise, because if the nuclear weapon is there, that's the threat. That's not a peace. When somebody's preparing to shoot you, you don't ask if it's a peaceful time because he didn't shoot yet. He is in the process of shooting. A nuclear facility is the process of doing some major harm, because Iran has a clear direction, and history will show that they are in that route. It's not something. So to blame, and I love this, the goody two-shoes said, oh, America is wrong. No, America is not wrong. Actually, America is kindest and very clear about protecting the world. And once you have a gun, a smoking gun, or a facility of nuclear weapon, that's a definitely threat. So no peace agreement is there, and no ideas of peaceful time is in the process. You must consider they're trying to invade your thought with wrong information. And when Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, say, you know, false information, this is something like it's directional gyro on a plane. If you go in the wrong or different direction, you can end up in a different destination, right? So I would say that I want to consider their story for what they're bringing to play, the story of how we can penetrate, and the enemy of peace of the Western world and the freedom of the Western world must be on notice, must be put on notice to tell them that the world is ready and will attack. Now, if you guys been keeping busy watching the news, you would see that and you would hear that there are so much going on in the last week that I barely can tell you about it, because I don't want to invade your life with the nonsense of the rhetoric of the anarchists of this world. Let's say it. The world is upset. Donald Trump is the new age. This is a new page in history, and they don't like it. So they create a whole hoo-ha over whatever he did or he doesn't do, or whatever, jeopardizing and sabotaging whatever he touches. So we have a surrounding that is being attacked, so he can be stopped in some way from his process of being president, of doing, because they cannot tolerate the idea that is there. But they cannot tolerate also the idea that Benjamin Netanyahu is here. And now I know that. It's because they're sending all kind of clues. Remember, it's funny because just today I heard that in the International Affairs Committee they mentioned the fact that America, the State Department, donated to a group money to get rid of Netanyahu in the last election. And having failed, they're trying everything. And how they do that? They're taking every conflict that there is on the ground in Israel, and they evolve it to the maximum level. I went to see a tent which they stage the doctors from Hadassah Hospital stages. They close one clinic and they're upset, so they were like sitting in a big tent, and I went to visit and I found the opposition trying to gain some momentum on this, and then I saw them in the TV. It means that they're trying to create some kind of conflict to evolve. And then we are finding that the reform movement is upset with the Israeli, because they want to keep Judaism the traditional way, but they decide that they know better. And it's funny, because sometimes you have to tell them, you know, this is it, you have to stop, but it still evolves. So what I'm saying, they're throwing stones everywhere possible, even on the idea of religious must be reformed. We're traditional. We came back to 2,000 years of land not to be reformed. We're trying to restore the kingdom of David. We're not playing by the new evolved rules that actually deviated from the whole essence of the Bible. And every Christian will tell you that, you know, you're a Christian and a Jewish traditional is a Jewish traditional. If you evolve, you get out of track. It's okay. You do whatever you want, but don't try to insinuate that we don't accept you, we don't like you, or the Jews are different. No, stop it. Judaism is by the holy book. And nobody can actually achieve that highness because we don't have the temple yet. But the idea is that we're trying to just keep it tradition. And they're creating a mess. So what do we have? We have a cyber attack. We have attacks of the New World Order, you know, against the New World Order, because there is one, which Donald Trump, I don't know if he's a part of it or not, but he's like the symbol of that. And then you have all Europe is happened up, you know, in incredible cyber attack, which means that we have a method here of being. And then they're sending toward Israel another inspection, investigation, you one thing, and people are rioting. People, the handicapped are rioting, the sick are rioting. Of course, people are not taken care of because you are trying to handle all those crises again and again. So I think that something has to change. And with that, I want to give you that segment that when God tells you that it's time to change, which maybe it's inspirational, but it's definitely time to consider it.
I remember being in New York City and doing an interview not too long ago, and it was a radio station that had just changed formats. And they had gone from talk radio, which I had done many interviews at this station over the years, to gospel music. And so everybody that was on the staff at this radio station, some 30 people, were all told the day that I was coming there to do an interview that they had all been let go. And everybody was walking around, and they were all depressed, and they were all upset. And every time someone would come up to me and say, "Oh, Wayne, isn't this awful? I've been here for 22 years, and I just lost my job," and I would say, "Congratulations." And they look and say, "What's the matter with you? Why? How could you believe in congratulations? I just lost my job." And I said, "Yes, but within a certain amount of time, probably within a year, you'll be in a place that is much better than where you are now." And it was almost like God was trying to tell you something, but you wouldn't listen. It's time to change. It's time to walk down another street. What is your dream? And you sit down with each one of these people and you ask them, "What would you really like to be doing rather than working here at this particular rate?" And most of them said, "I'd like to have my own business, or I would like to do some writing over here. I've always had some ideas about writing." One guy said that he wanted to just do an opera. He'd always wanted, and he's been working on an opera like Mr. Holland, remember, in Mr. Holland's Opus. But he could never get himself the courage to do it because he was always going into the radio station every day in New York. And then I saw him about a year and a half after that, and he was getting his opera published, which he couldn't have done if... It's like this intelligence that we think is conspiring against us is something that we have to understand works with us. But you have to have infinite patience and trust. And when you have... And the reason it says... infinite patience produces immediate results. The reason it says this is because the immediate result of your infinite patience.
You hear that? It means that when we need to change, we need to change. And nothing, you cannot hold to the past, especially when this world is evolving. And by all means, we have an incredible guest in Israel these days. Is Mr. Honorable Rudy Giuliani, the former mayor of New York City and a hero, one of America's best boys and men. I'm telling you, this gentleman is a wonderful man, and he's here on the ground in Israel. And we have a lot to do to help assist him, whatever we can. To give him the opportunity to learn about the new product that we have as far as the cyber, because he's responsible for the cyber protection. And I'm sure that after is going to be traveling back with a full basket of joyful memories or joyful ideas that will bring America closer to the new age. You see, we can give them all only maybe some idea, but American minds will make it incredible. You see, that's where we all working. We are like part of the mission, God's mission, and we, you know, everyone does his job. We need to produce. And it's funny because when the story about, you know, changing, think about Israel. It's so little, so tiny, that the Israeli had to find out another way to expand themselves. So they expand the internet, they expand elsewhere, you know, in the navigation that is not confined to territory, which makes you understand that it doesn't matter how tiny or big you are, it's what your effort, whatever you put into the basket, that's what you're going to get. And on that note, I want to recommend everybody the next conference that is going to take in Israel, the air missile defense, Israeli air missile defense from the national security. It's going to take place on the 24th of July, 2017. And I do recommend that whoever... you know, the diplomatic apparatus in Israel that would like to understand. I'll be on the ground there probably listening, because I'm so fascinated with all these ways of that they invent. They're incredible. And I want to welcome you guys. If you need any assistance, I'm here to help you. So having said that, I want to remember that there is a God, and it's not us, and we need to be worthy. And I'm giving everything that I can to make sure that you get all the information that is the process. But just remember, you have to trust. You have to give trust a chance. Something that people don't understand, that they have to believe. You have to believe that you're going to be okay. Because the task of moving from one place to another is always a task of understanding that you have to proceed. You have to keep on going. And if you keep on going, you will succeed. So any times you are on the way to someplace, the success is there. You just have to keep on going. Now, if you stop, you never reach it. Even that, you know, your mind saying, oh, you never reach. The only thing is when you have signals that saying it's the wrong address, it's the wrong place, you're going in the wrong direction, that's where you have to reconsider and reroute. But today, everything is much easier. The information is so accessible. You can have every answer in the book. You can even talk to Siri and she'll answer to you and tell you what's happening. You don't even have to worry about learning something. She will give it to you. But if you learn, it's much better because you can walk with it and calculate and evolve. Anyway, so after been saying that, I'm sure that you understand how much emotion and how much information been evolved in this part of the world. Many people want to come here now to Israel. Maybe want to reside here because you have to come to visit, because when you go and you talk to a bar, you know when you go someplace in the world, you go to a bar, for example, in Italy, you drink coffee, say ciao, you know, everybody, okay, blah, 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 and you walk out faster. That's a bar. They don't have the coffee is like take and go, and you catch and you go. In America, you go into a bar, you talk about football. You get the basketball, you get the team, you get the match. In Israel, when you go, oh boy, you have to be ready, because you can find in a bar or in a cafe, small cafe, everybody with computer talking and thinking, and you see things happening on the ground constantly. And you learn, and the feedback that you get is like making your life much more interesting. If you like that heartbeat, you know, I would love to go back sometimes to South Carolina where I can rest and just don't worry about all this hoo-ha. But right now we're in the middle of a global war of, you know, against terrorism and the cyber war. We need to be vigilant. So I'm here doing my best. It's a big, long boot camp, if you can call it. And I'm sure that you'll come and visit. But whatever happens, it's evolving. It's evolving to be a great place. And it's exciting. You know why? Because the Arab nations around it just decided that maybe they don't mind us so much anymore. Maybe Israel is okay, and maybe their stuff is really cool, and maybe the Israeli are really not that nuts. They just are energetic humanity that God put in place to make sure that they bring light upon the world. I think that the Sunnis, the branch of Saudis, what else? That whatever that segment, the Sunnis, they decided that maybe we are okay. And I'm telling you, the Saudis have a few members of their royal house that are really really holy. I can see them. I can perceive how godly they are. And it doesn't matter what God you worship, as long as you know that there is one God after all, you know, and we all together. So maybe there is a new days that we are going to give peace a chance, and we're going to love each other maybe. Maybe it's time to be friends again. And I'm not telling it because it's a cliche, because I feel it. And you know what? I like to think that life is going to be great. And in that note, I'm going to send you with Hallelujah. That is a wonderful song that I praise God constantly, because I can't believe that we're in 2017 and the world is that exciting. You know, you're growing older to think that everything will be calm. No, it's becoming more incredible. And the books that we're going to write about them, the movies that we need to have, the script that are on the ground right now, must evolve to great movies to make sure. Remember, when you show them the good movie, they'll follow, all right? So let's give them some images of the future, how beautiful it's going to be, because it's a new day, and we are going to be rocking with that. God bless you all. I love you. This is Orly Benny Davis from Israel. Ciao, ciao. Love you so much. Be good. Keep happy. Be happy, all right? Love you. Ciao, ciao.